You guys want to get into it? You ready?
Yeah.
Ready or not? Here we go. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Praise God. So this psalm breaks out, appears to be two different sections here, but they actually go together very well. The general revelation around us of God's creation, when it speaks of firmament, that's his whole of creation. A lot of times we think of firm as the ground, the earth, the dirt beneath our feet. But it's also the sky above us where the birds fly and where the stars sit as well, the universe. The firmament, the things that we can feel, touch, and hear. It's firm to us. But to God, it's just shadows. It's his creation, which he's all going to wrap up in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye, you know, just a snapping of a finger, a shout, a clap. All of those things will be rolled up. Because they're more of a projection of God. But they are very real to us. So to us, that's a firm thing, to see a star and its beauty and energy coming out of it. This wood that's before me and the rug underneath my feet, they're all firm things to us. But these things of God's creation, including the stars and the earth and the oceans, are the firmament. And he's telling us that they speak a language to us, a certain language. The rest of the psalm, going from 7 forward, is going to give us that specific voice, his word actually speaking to us very specifically. So you have the general revelation of what the stars are trying to tell you, what the bird is trying to tell you, and the specific revelation, what the word of God is telling you. Those are in agreement, of course. Praise God. So I'm going to read the rest of this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes or precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, more fine than gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand the errors, his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Those are the things we do that we think we're doing that are right for God. Done plenty of these. And I'm presuming on God, I'm getting ahead of God. And it's a presumptuous sin, it is still a sin. You know, as funny as I think it is, it's still a sin. It's still wrong. It still can cause damage and hurt and waste of time. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We might touch on the other two psalms. If we do, it would be a quick touch. But that's part of my plan today, is to touch on them. Let's take a look at some of these things in Psalm 19 first, though. If I were to title Psalm 19, it has to do with three verses. One that's at the beginning, one that's at the middle, one that's at the very end. The heavens declaring the glory of God. Speaking a voice to us that, it says, isn't limited by language. It says their voice is heard, whether no speech or language, it doesn't matter what the speech or language is. There is no speech or language, it says in verse 3, I'll just read it, where their voice is not heard. So there's something that's underneath the language of the stars that it's not actually uttering words of English or Spanish or Chinese or something like that. There's something that transcends it, something deeper that's speaking to you that even goes beyond the mental understanding and speaks right to your heart. It speaks right to your heart. So there's the language being spoken. So there's the language of the heart being spoken here. In the center of this verse, or the center of this chapter, the song, is verse 8 there. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The statutes of the Lord is a very extraordinary word there, that word statute. A precept is the translation, and you only find it in Psalms. There isn't, you can't, sometimes you think of precepts, some translations say commandments, that's not correct. Or something like that, it says to that nature. This is a very unique word, and it's not like you have a book of precepts. You don't have the 10 precepts written on stone. The precepts of God are the things that transcend all of that physical language. It's a language of the heart. And we'll get into examples of that. At the very end there, the meditation of my heart. What's happening in your heart? We know when the earth was destroyed with flood, when God sent the flood, we know the condition of man's heart was, everything in his heart was continually evil all the time. It was altogether corrupt. That's just the opposite. We're going to be talking about aligning our heart with God. Getting in alignment with God. Alignment of the heart is the title of Psalm 19 that I would give it as far as how the Lord was showing me to present this. There is so much here. You can go off on so many different teachings. This is like a springboard into so many different things. But the alignment of the heart is what God spoke to me mostly through this. God chooses the specific example of the general revelation. So the first part of this is his creation, speaking a language to your heart, declaring the glory of God. He chooses the sun, S-U-N, as the example here that's given in verses 5 and 6 there. A bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoicing as a strong man runs a race, speaking of the order that the sun has. So a circuit. His going forth is from the end of heaven, a circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So two different things being brought out in the general revelation of the S-U-N, and that's the order of things. There's a circuit. The sun isn't just, oh, too bad, we're done. It just keeps taking off. There's a pattern happening, and even seasons about that pattern. And even days as the earth spins. It's amazing, the order of things and how that just orders everything, our whole lives, the day, the week, the month, the week's different, the year, all those things are patterned of the order of God. So part of this expression of his general revelation is the order of God. He's not a God of chaos. He's not the author of confusion, but he's a God of order. And he brings that order into our lives when we receive his Holy Spirit and we grow in the grace and knowledge of him. The Spirit, a sound spirit, sound mind. He gives us a spirit of love, power, love, and sound mind. So that order starts to take place in us. And the things that, you know, the things not orbiting correctly and just, you know, those things start to come into order as the light of God comes into our life. And that's the second element here, is the light of God, or heat, your translation might say. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof, and that simply in the Hebrew is, that word heat is sun. So there's two words there, head and sun, really in the Hebrew. And so the English kind of is helping us out here. The translators are trying to help us out with heat and not hiding from the heat. But you also know that the sun has light. And so it's just the presence of the sun. How can you escape that? So this is the revelation of who God is, that we can't escape that. We can't escape his presence and his continual revealing to us. No matter where we go, if we're in China and people are speaking weird, there's still that revelation of God happening. I don't need to go back to America to hear God. You know, God is speaking to me wherever I go. So revealing the concealed, there is nowhere. The heat, the light, gives shape and purpose to things. As soon as you turn on the light, oh, that's what I just stepped over. I see what it is now. It's a pulpit. It gives shape and meaning and purpose to things. Nothing is hid. Nothing is hid. Where can I go to escape the presence of God? We'll get into that psalm not too long from now, God willing. So two different things there, just brought out in the voice of God speaking through a language of the heart by the order of things. It's speaking to you in a deeper place. Yeah, the scientist looks at it and is going to start taking down data and crunching it and coming up with hypotheses and theories and different things like that. He's stimulated in the mind and maybe even an awe in the mind. But the believer is going to look up and something else is speaking to the believer. And this is in also the atheist heart, the non-believer's heart. He knows there's something there. He's denying, he's suppressing the truth in his unrighteousness and his philosophy and his declaring that there's no God. Or her, whoever it is. There's a language going on there of the heart. And man is unique in this way. You don't see a cow looking up at the stars in an awe and wonder. There's something happening to me when I was with Gretchen out on the front porch last night, 10:30, 11, and we're seeing, oh, there's one over there. There's one of the meteors. And there's that. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful sky it was last night. There's something that's, and you know, I'm starting to speak, and Gretchen's, I'm like, am I bothering her? Because I'm starting to sputter things because I'm getting stimulated. You know, my heart is connecting with the language of what the sky is speaking to me. And so I'm just trying to be quiet and, you know, allow the Lord's, you know. But it's hard because I'm being, you know, he's speaking to me. And it's a language that it's not like, you know, the stars saying, Paul, I love you, you know, and I can hear the audibly with the ear. There's a language of his awesome glory. It's just being declared, and it doesn't need to be filtered through my brain and language and things like that. It goes right into the heart, and there's something that happens in that understanding that this massive, beautiful God, that he's created all of this, it speaks to me in a language that all of a sudden I have an understanding of things and who I am and perspective of things and alignment of things and that are going on in my life. All of a sudden, I mean, that thing that I was worried about, what was that little tiny thing? You know, because God is speaking to me. And how did that happen? Did he say, Paul, you know, the stars, everything's going to be okay with that situation, this situation, and that bill you can't pay, and you know, all of that stuff. That's not how it happens. It's not through that type of understanding or knowledge. There's something happening in my heart that brings me to a place like, well, God is awesome. I know that he's going to be with me. And I just am in a place that God has dominion over everything. So my heart is being aligned as I look up and hear this language. It's alignment of the heart. And God is speaking that way. Do you see it? The heavens are declaring the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day and night unto night. If you would just allow it, right? If you would even ask God, God, show me your wisdom. Speak to me through this tree that is making this beautiful sound of its leaves. Speak to me, Lord God, in this. Show me in this fruit, Lord, that's before me. Why you created it. What it means, Lord God. How it's an expression of you. Allow it to speak to me, Lord Jesus. So I do that all the time, and I enjoy that because it's a language that transcends. I don't have to figure it out. It just speaks right to my heart, and there's an alignment that happens. There's an alignment that happens with God. The one that wrote this, his name is David, and this was his claim to fame, according to heaven, is that he had a heart aligned with God. His heart was aligned with God. It says God's heart searches to and fro. He's looking. He's looking at your, not looking at what you wore today. He's looking at your heart. He's looking for a heart, right? That is aligned to him. That is tuned to him. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for this heart alignment. So I would invite you to be part and parcel with me in this and getting our hearts aligned and tuned into God. And part of that is this glory of God being declared in his creation. So the heat, the light, revealing, concealing, giving shape and purpose and the order of things by the circuits that are going around. Just incredible that the earth is turning. You know, that it's amazing. It's be careful not to go too far with these because I get so excited and I get off on tangents. But it's incredibly amazing. This order, there's so much complexity out there. It's so intricate, down to the particles, which are made up of particles, and down to the grand cosmos of things. It's so complicated how they interact and how everything, yet there's a simplicity. That simplicity is found in this order of the sun and the circuit it makes. It's not just all chaos, like things just like going crazy all the time. And the earth, I don't know where the earth is going to end up next year. You know, we're just flying through space and I don't know what we're going to hit next. But it should. It really should. There's so much complexity, so much diversity of things going on out there, yet there's the simplicity of order and all of the chaos that speaks peace to me. That speaks so much to my heart. Peace isn't even the word. It's not a word. There's something in my heart that changes. It's understanding. My ears of my heart, the eyes of my heart are seeing and they're comprehending and aligning with its creator. My mind is just simply blown and then my mouth starts babbling. Gretchen, you did that. Be quiet. Just listen. Be still and know that he is God. Okay. The hardware. Just the hardware out there. You have computers, most of us, phones, computers, even toasters are computers, refrigerators these days. How can you get away from it? Your car, you know, all of that. But there's hardware. And that's the firmament is that you think of firm and hardware, his creation, the hardware. I was going to get into the software, the actual specific wisdom of God, his truth, his righteousness, his judgments, his precepts, all of these things. We're going to talk about now the software. So the communication or the element, he gives a list here. And then we're going to see the glory of that and then the purpose of that. He breaks it out really nice for us here, starting in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. What's the glory of the law? It's perfect. Man, I'm reading these directions and they didn't really, you know, I still can't figure out how to put this toy together for Asher or whatever. You know, the directions were in Spanish and the law is perfect. It's not lacking. The law of God is perfect. It converts the soul. Terry read about the soul, Matthew 22, that we're to love God with all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our heart. Okay, the soul is your life. God breathed into man, into his nostrils, the breath of life that was also physical. It went into his lungs. He became a body, lungs. Also, that breath went into up into the mind. He created a mind. And interesting, that's how our nose is fashioned. We think we're breathing in and it just goes down into our lungs, but there's also part of your brain is in your nose. Did you know that? They're called olfilial cells, the olfactory you may have heard of, and that's where you get your smells from. So part of your nose has those nerve endings down here, which are attached right up into your brain, that tell you what you're smelling. And so right into the mind directly is that scent. It doesn't go into your lungs, then somehow you smell something. But you have that life. You could see God breathing that breath of life, going right into the mind of man, creating a mind, and then a body into his lungs, and he would place himself in that, you know, creating a spirit, a heart in that man. And that's that heart that he's looking for, to be aligned with him. The other things will come in alignment as well. Your mind will be renewed as your heart is in alignment with God. Your body will come into alignment as your heart is in alignment with God. So now the software here, the law. It's perfect. It converts the soul, your living being. The next one is the precepts. This is a fantastic word with a very strange sound to it. It's pickle dough in the Hebrew. If there was a rabbi out here, he'd probably be going, oh, boy, this guy. Pickle dough is my best way of pronouncing it. But it's such a beautiful word, I hesitated even sharing the strange sound of it. It's only found in the Psalms, mostly in Psalm 119. We're going to get really into it. We're going to break out this idea of precepts. We'll probably be there 10 years, I don't know, in 10 years and for 10 years. But the statutes are this language that's even in the software, in the hardware. It's in everything. So it's in the stars that are declaring the glory of God, in the order of the sun and its circuit and the rotation of the earth. It's in all of these things. It's the design. It speaks to a design. It speaks to the concept of God. It speaks to the presence of God in these things. So a precept is right, and it rejoices what? The heart. So it's something that transcends everything, even the physical stars and all the physics about them and the science behind them. It transcends all the nature of things. It speaks to my heart. The word of God, it can be death or it can be life. The life aspect of that speaks to the precept of it, the purpose, the intent, the presence of God in his word. Speaking to my heart. Very important word, even though it sounds funny, but maybe we remember it. Pickle dough. Precepts. The presence, you can think of presence. If you've got a translation that says command right there, and then it says command again. Well, the second one is correct. The first one is not correct. You can cross it out. It is a very different word in the Hebrew in verse 8 there. The statutes of the Lord, or precepts, very unique word, are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure and enlightening the eyes. We're going to break out an example that where we can understand what all of these are. Examples are wonderful. So commandments of God, those are the specific to-dos of God, are pure. They enlighten our eyes. So they affect all of us. All of this software now is supposed to be working and coursing through us. Let's take an example. John 3:16. In that we find law. In that, oh, I forgot one. How did I miss that one? Testimony. How did I miss that one? There it is. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And I got the commandment. And then we're going to talk about the fear next, but that has to do with something else. So the testimony of God, that's familiar with us. This is how things have applied, the history of things, our experience with this interaction with God, this understanding of God, the Word of God, our experience, good, bad, and ugly. So the testimony, and the testimony of God. Okay, let's take a look. Let's apply all these to just one verse, and that's John 3:16. In that, we see the law of God. We see the testimony of the Lord being sure, making wise. We see the statute, the precept, the purpose, the presence of the Lord, rejoicing the heart. And we see the commandment of the Lord being pure. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have life eternal, speaks to us that there's a law out there. It speaks to us that there's a law. And the law is pure. The law is perfect. It converts the soul in that law was broken. So the morality of God, there is law. There are boundaries that God places. There are laws. That we can go into that as a discussion. I think I'm going to save that for Psalm 119. So we'll be there a lot, just really working deeply into these things. I'm going to just touch on it, just to give an example and a flavor of it, just from one verse, John 3:16. It speaks to, what's the next one? The law of the Lord, and then the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The passion story, the actual gospel. This is what Jesus did. His beard was plucked out. This is what it meant of the giving of the Son. This is what it looked like. Here's the testimony. Here's the story. Here's the gospel story. From his birth to his death, his resurrection, all of that. That's the testimony of it, all the details. The gospel story. What's the precept? What's the presence of God in that? What's speaking to your heart in that message? Well, this is an important one because this is the one that converts your heart and makes you a new creature. The precept, the presence of God is in that verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It takes you to places of Abraham giving his son and the intensity there. You're starting to get into a place of intensity. You're starting to speak the language of your heart. How can I explain it to you? Can I make you saved by explaining John 3:16 and finally you getting it? There needs to be penetration in the heart. There needs to be, the mind is important to be engaged in, the ears to hear and all of that. Those are important. God gave us those things. But what really needs to happen, the epicenter of the explosion, needs to happen in the heart. What do you hear there in your heart? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, do you feel inclusion in there? Do you feel the love of God? Do you feel the passion of God? Do you sense his presence in that? The reality of that? Do you sense the light of God, the heat of that, the manifestation burned? Do you see the order of God in things and the patterns? The commandment of God we can take from that, John 3:16 as well, is that because of the law, because of morality, all of these things of God, that Jesus had a command. He was obedient unto death. He was obedient unto the command to give his life. He submitted to that command of the Father. He was sent of the Father with a command to go be that sacrificial lamb. And he accepted it, and he was obedient unto death. So that command was, here's the to-do. Here's what you're going to do. And he would find and struggle just like we do. Simeon and I were talking about this with the case of Jonah last night. Actually, he mentioned it in a prayer meeting. And I brought up Saul actually afterwards too, of these different challenges that we have of getting in alignment with God. But Jesus, you saw that happen in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he got in alignment with the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. What just happened? Heart to heart alignment. He was confirming, assuring, affirming that for you and me especially, that it was not his will, it was, and that he had to surrender his will and be in alignment with God. So that was the commandment that he was obedient to. So commandment speaks to hearing specific things and being obedient to them, surrendering your will, those kind of things. But that's not the whole totality of a relationship, is it? The totality of a relationship is deeper than that. It's for the joy that was set before him. It wasn't just about a commandment, go be the sacrificial lamb. The joy that was set before him. Now you're starting to spark again. You're starting to speak the heart language, the language of the heart. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So there was a heart alignment there for sure. So, beautiful things. We're going to get more into this as we go through the Psalms. And we connect with him. Praise God. Verse 9 there speaks to the kind of a response to what has been told to us so far. Everything I've presented to you so far, what should be your response? And these are two qualifiers, or two things that describe kind of what we've been talking about. And the first one there has to do with you and me. And the next one has to do with God. So our proper place, our great place to be, is the fear of the Lord is clean. It is enduring forever, it says. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. When we've got a heart like a child to listen to God. Now, I used to be able to take a matchbox toy or whatever and play for hours with it. Now it's a little different. My matchbox toy is the universe. It's the stars that are above the heaven, but I'm still that child. I still get lost in that toy that, you know, it took God a second to create. I still get lost in that, musing over it. And I'm lost in that speech that God is, he's got me enraptured in it. So that's the fear of the Lord, is that thing, that awe of a child, that you're ready to listen. And instead of like, here's my opinion about those stars, like you would hear the fool speak that says there's no God, I've chosen to be a child and allow the stars to speak to me. There's a big difference. There's plenty of people going around telling you what their opinions are because of the data that we sampled, and here's my theory. Well, let the stars speak to your heart, I would advise. Be still and know that he is God, I would advise. So that's the fear of the Lord, and it endures forever. So it's good when you first get saved, it's good the third day, and so on and so forth, and the 3,000th day. To have that childlike awe of God and be ready to hear and listen what God is speaking to you in every situation. A couple of Psalms ago, he talked about his purposes being overlaid ours. His paths overlaying yours. That's a really cool thought. That's a type of child like, wow, God is with me on this trip to Walmart. God is with me at the car wash now. You know, the presence of God there, his paths, is part of the fear of the Lord, being clean. Everywhere you go is clean. It endures forever. It's a way of life. The second part of that, verse 9, describes all of his speech towards us. This is the judgments of God. These are the things of God. This is the opinions of God. And they are to be greater than the opinions, like Terry was sharing about, your opinion about yourself. And that needs to change. And that's right. And it's because the judgment of God has said something else about you. It says, you're the apple of my eye. And all of these things that God says about you, and now you're to not stiff-arm them, but to allow them to change you. More to be desired are they than gold, it says in verse 10 there. Man, I've been trying to put this to practice much in my life, but particularly this last week, you know, when hunger comes up, something in the biology starts happening where, you know, I want a piece of chocolate, or I want to eat or something like that. And it's like, okay, that's a physical hunger. God, show me what spiritual hunger is. I want to deny that right now. And I want to know what this other kind of desire. I want to be more tuned in with what my heart hungers for. And I want my heart to be aligned with you, Lord God. And I want that to be the thing that drives me in my life, my heart hunger. Jesus would be at the woman with the woman at the well, telling her about her life story, offering her living water. And the disciples show up and says, Jesus, did you eat anything? Did you get any lunch? And it's almost like he wasn't even aware of that. He said, my food is to do the will of God. He had a hunger for that. So my prayer and my hope in part of our tent meeting this Thursday night at 6:30 is for that, is to develop a hunger and an appetite of the heart. And it comes in a waiting on God. The word waiting applies. The word being still and knowing that he is God applies. Alignment of your heart applies to this. So that's going to be part of the effort, if you want to call it that, on Thursday night at 6:30 under the tent. God willing, we'll be there and having that time with God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So we'll develop that more Thursday, that idea of this desire now, instead of just like, I'm going to get satisfied with a brownie. God, I want that not to be the story of my life, to write on my gravestone. He lived for brownies. He lived for ice cream. Whatever he was physically desiring, that's what he did. That's the story of his life. Might as well bury me with dogs and cats and squirrels. There's something you've been called to that's greater than all of that. We need to get in tune to what our heart is hungering. Jesus would say that from the Sermon on the Mount. He who hungers and thirsts for righteousness will be filled. There's a satisfaction that comes with that. And that's what he ends up with here. As he's having his heart searched for secret faults, presumptuous sins, getting ahead of God. And I do that too often. Let the words of my mouth, trying to be better, I'm yielding more than I can, more, in the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The satisfaction of God is going, we're going to talk about that more in Psalm 23. Hopefully getting into that very soon. We'll be in there before camp, I would guess. But I thank you, Lord, for the presence of yourself in your word today, Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to decrease more and more and have you present in the preaching of your word more and more. And I think that's what the other Paul said of the Bible here, Lord Jesus, the Paul the Apostle, Lord God, that not wisdom of words, not impressing people with his knowledge, but the power of the Spirit. And my mind goes, so what does that look like? What does that sound like? And it's a language of the heart. There isn't words. There isn't something of the physical. Paul was working in the heart. Paul was working in the heart. And such labor he was as a woman giving birth that Christ would be formed in them. I thank you, Jesus Christ, for being present in your word and your preaching today, Lord God. I pray that all of us, Lord Jesus Christ, would become vessels of your word, of this new wine, this living water, be outflowing and outpouring in the people and the lives around us. I pray for this love to be full and right, and whatever that means, Lord, each one of us has to address different things to get our heart aligned, Lord God. I lift up this week and the events of this week, the woman gathering, the men gathering, never take that for granted, Lord. Those are oases. Those are times of refreshment. Those are so key. Those are so important, Lord God. I'm thankful for them to have a building and a place that we can gather. I pray you bless those, Lord Jesus Christ, that couldn't be with us. I pray those that are in bondage because of health issues, Lord, that you would be their deliverer and redeemer. Right now, Lord God, we pray and agree in prayer, Lord Jesus, for healing for those people, Lord Jesus. God, that couldn't be with us because of physical issues or issues of the mind even, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you called us to be vessels of light. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you want to finish with a song, huh?
Give light, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
In our lungs,
a reminder tonight is the peak of the meteor shower, and it's a kind of a cool thing because you would think something random, the meteors are going this way, that, and the other way, but there's an order to it, even that, because it comes once a year. You know, the weather can tell you, I think it's going to be the showers, so they know the pattern of things, so even that speaks to order. But allow some time to pass. You might be sitting under there, and then your mind is going different places, but allow that heart language to happen, and it might take a while. It might be quickly. People, we're all different, so be patient with yourself, and allow that heart language to happen, and hear from the Lord in a language that can't be uttered. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, and blessings upon your people. Amen.
Amen. Amen.